Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. I'm Team Lady Sai Bishu, and as always, is Sai Prakash, the co-host of the program. We are in chapter 30 of Prema Vahini. The last time we did the first segment, this is a pretty long chapter, and we have broken it into bit-sized segments so that we have more time to deliberate on what Bhagwan has mentioned. Because this probably is the final chapter. In some books, this last chapter is divided into two. So, depending on which edition of the Prema Vahini book you have, this is either the last chapter or the penultimate chapter. But it's a pretty long chapter, and I feel in these chapter, Bhagwan is sort of summarizing everything that he has mentioned till now in the book. This is the 90th episode of Vahini Satsang, and it is surely his grace that we've been able to come this far trying to spend time and deliberate on the beautiful pearls of wisdom that Bhagwan has so painstakingly written for us, placing our gratitude to Swami for yet another opportunity to ruminate on his teachings. So let's begin. We will hear now to the second segment of chapter 30.
మానవులు ప్రపంచ సుఖములు కోరుచుందురు. న్యాయముగా యోచించిన అదియే రోగము, బాధలే మందులు. ఈ సుఖములున్న చోట భగవంతుడు కావాలన్న కోరికే చాలా అరుదు. ఇదియే కాక మానవుని ప్రతి ప్రవర్తనను యోచించవలసిన అగత్యమున్నది. అందుమూలముననే వైరాగ్యము ప్రాప్తించును కాని లేకపోయినా సాధ్యము కాదు. లోభాన్ని రూపు మాపవలెను, అది కుక్క వంటిది. కోపము సాధకునకు ప్రథమ ద్వేషి, అది ఊసివేసిన ఉమ్ము వంటిది. ఇంకా అసత్యము, అది మరింత అసహ్యమైనది. దాని మూలమున సర్వ ప్రాణేంద్రియములను చంపుకున్నట్లగును, అది కేవలం పాకీవాణి వంటిది. దొంగతనము జీవితమునే నాశనము చేయును. పవిత్రమైన మానవత్వమును కాసుకు కూడా కొరగాని వాణినిగా చేయును, అది కేవలము కుళ్ళి కంపుకొట్టు మాంసము వంటిది. మితమైన తిండి, మిత నిద్ర, ప్రేమ, సహనము, ఇవి శరీర మానసిక ఆరోగ్యములను అభివృద్ధిపరచును. అధైర్యమునకు చోటివ్వక, భయము అనున్నది లేక భగవంతుని నిశ్చల చిత్తుడై వాంఛారహితుడై స్మరించువాని సమస్త బాధలు దుఃఖములు విడిచిపోవును.
Men crave for worldly happiness. If we analyze this properly, this itself is the disease, and sufferings are but the drugs we take. In the midst of these worldly pleasures, one rarely entertains the desire for attaining the Lord. Besides, it is necessary to analyze and discriminate every act of man, for the spirit of renunciation is born out of such analysis. Without it, it is difficult to get renunciation. Greed is like the behavior of a dog. It has to be eliminated. Anger is enemy number one of the sadhaka. It is like spittle and has to be treated as such. And untruth, it is even more disgusting because untruth will falsify all our vital powers. It should be treated as scavenging itself. Theft ruins life. It makes the priceless human life cheaper than a pie. It is like rotten smelling flesh. Moderate food, moderate sleep, love and fortitude, these will help in the healthy growth of both body and the mind. Whoever he may be, in whatever condition he may be, if he gives no room for weak-mindedness, if he has no fear at all, and if he remembers the Lord with a steady mind and without any desire, all suffering and sorrow will fall away from him.
So that's the second segment, and Bhagwan is actually here comparing our craving for worldly happiness to a disease. So he's saying, if you want worldly happiness, it is almost like you are having a disease.
Absolutely, yes.
And Swami is saying that whatever you suffer because of this, that is the drug for the disease.
Right.
In fact, it reminds me of a lovely anecdote which Bhagwan has narrated from the life of Bilva Mangala.
Okay.
So Bilva Mangala lived some 500 years ago in Kerala.
Mm-hmm.
A great saint. And he was so devoted to the Lord that he would call on Krishna and Krishna would appear. And there was one man who suffered from chronic stomachache. And so he came, he heard about the powers of Bilva Mangala and he came to him and said, you know, can you please check with Krishna
mm-hmm.
about my stomachache? I want to know when it will end.
Okay.
So Bilva Mangala said, I will do it. And so when Krishna appeared next, he asked Krishna, this man is suffering, please Krishna, you have to help. So Krishna said, when the rolling stops, it will cease.
Uh-huh.
So he told that to that man. So that man thought, okay, when the rolling stops, it will cease, which means when I get pain,
mm-hmm.
I should not roll.
Okay.
So if I don't do that, then maybe I will not have the suffering. And so he tried to do that, but it was very difficult for him because when there used to be these attacks of these stomach pain, then, you know, he would always roll and he would squirm. And so it was very difficult for him, but he said he will try. But then he felt that, you know, this is not the solution. He has to do something else. Maybe he has to go to some other holy man who can, you know, give him a better solution. So he left Kerala. And Bilva Mangala told him that, see, what I feel is all your trouble is because of prarabdha.
Okay.
Okay. So, whatever you are going through is a result of your previous births.
Mm-hmm.
So, what Krishna probably meant is this rolling from birth to birth.
Okay.
So when that rolling stops only, when you stop rolling from birth to birth, that only that time only your sufferings will stop.
Mm.
Now again, that day also did not convince him because, you know, when is that going to happen? He has no clue. So finally he left Kerala, he went to Kashi.
Okay.
So Kashi, he went to a place where there was a lady by name Kuru Ramma. She was doing Narayan Seva, feeding the poor. She was running this place. So this man went to her. And so Kuru Ramma spoke to this man very kindly. And this man said, you know, I'm suffering so much that, you know, I'm really feeling that I will just go into Ganga. I'll just walk into Ganga and I'll just give up my life because I'm not able to bear this pain. And anyway, this is all the consequences of my previous actions, you know, prarabdha, this, that. So I don't know if anything can be done and I can't suffer this. So I just want to go
mm-hmm.
and drown myself in the Ganga. And Kuru Ramma says, you're a fool.
Mm.
Absolute fool you are. She says, what? What can I do? I have so much pain. And she says, nothing, is very simple. You just chant Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Namaha.
Haha.
Just chant this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Whenever you get pain, you just chant it. Your pain will just become all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said, okay. So, next time, you know, when the attack came, he started chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And to his utter surprise, the pain went off actually. So, it was sort of the last time he had that attack.
Mm-hmm.
That attack was severe attack, but he didn't feel the pain. And after that, he didn't return. And so he was so happy. He finished his pilgrimage to Kashi. He returned to Kerala and he fell at the feet of Bilva Mangala. And Bilva Mangala said, how are you? What happened to your pain? Did anyone help you? And he said, oh my Lord, you know what? I went there and everything got solved.
Mm.
And Then he said, wow, this is so nice. God has graced you. But you know, Bilva Mangala was wondering, so what really worked? You know, when Krishna said, when the rolling stops, it will cease. He didn't understand. I told him the same thing. But you know, nothing happened. He went there and suddenly everything worked. So he thought he will ask Krishna. So when Krishna appears next, he asks Krishna, what did you mean by rolling? And then Krishna said, that man was rolling in this objective world, in this changing phenomenon. When he fixed his mind on God, that's when the rolling stopped.
Stopped. Beautiful.
So if you fix your mind on God, have no other thought, then the rolling stops, then the suffering ceases.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So Krishna was telling Bilva Mangala, even Bilva Mangala was not sort of
able to interpret it.
Yeah, the beautiful cryptic words of the Lord, divine mystery as it is. And Swami says that the name and the chain of destiny cannot exist together.
Mm-hmm.
That is the power of the name. Name and the chain of the destiny, the chain of our prarabdha karma cannot exist together. Prarabdha will melt away like fog before the sun if namasmarana is done, Swami says. In fact, two days from now, we'll be having the Akhanda Bhajan.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, this is the power. All our rolling of suffering will stop if we really focus on the name and the form during the Akhanda Bhajan. But that is what Swami is telling here, you know. You're craving for worldly happiness. That rolling has to stop. Then our suffering will cease.
Will cease. Very true. In fact, if you look at some of the stories from the Puranas, they're also very symbolic. And of course, when you talk about the worldly enjoyment.
Yes.
So he says men crave for worldly happiness.
Yes.
So there is this very interesting and famous story about this king Yayati.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, it is from the Mahabharata Adi Parva and it's also in the Bhagavata Purana. So basically the idea, the story goes like this, that King Yayati has his wife Devyani, whose servant is Sarmishta. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a long story about how Devyani is the daughter of Shukracharya. And she is married to Yayati and her servant is Sarmishta, who is also the daughter of another Asura king. So Yayati begets two sons from Devyani, and Sarmishta also wants to have children with him. But Shukracharya puts a condition that you should not, have any relation with Sarmishta. But whatever happens, and then, so that's a long story, but the whole story goes like this, that they have a son, they have two, three sons, Sarmishta and Yayati, and what happens is, this Shukracharya is very upset, because Devyani has gone and complained, and he curses Yayati, that you are so proud of your youth, because of which you disobeyed my orders, and therefore I steal away the youth from you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He says, I steal away the youth from you. And when he curses him, he instantly becomes old.
Oh.
He instantly becomes old, and later, after the curse is given, Shukracharya realizes that it's not only Yayati's fault or Yayati's intention, but it was the desire of Sarmishta who wanted children. So it is a mother's desire, you know, mother wanted. So he kind of altered his curse.
Oh.
And he said, okay, you can get back your youth, provided one of your sons is ready to give his youth to you.
Okay.
Okay. Imagine. Now, this Puru, who is the son of Sarmishta, sons of Devyani don't, then the other sons of Sarmishta, they also don't agree. But Puru, who is there, he says, okay, I will give my youth. And then he gives his youth to Yayati.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
who enjoys youth for 1,000 years.
Oh,
wow.
And so, I mean, this is all symbolic as yes. a curse, and I'm sure there is some meaning to it. But yes. the whole idea is that 1,000 years he experiences the joys of the senses, the carnal pleasures, and he lives in his youthful state for 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, he realizes that it is insatiable. It is insatiable. And he actually gives up the world, goes to the forest, and then contemplates on the Lord. And of course, he gives his entire kingdom to Puru, who is the one who selflessly sacrificed his youth. And he gives back his youth to Puru.
Oh,
and
okay.
From the lineage of Puru is the, you know, the Vamsha where Pandavas and everybody has come. Puru Vamsha.
Oh, okay.
So Puru Vamsha is what continues.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we have the lineage. So I think the story is very mystical in its sense. But the whole idea, the central point is that if you are caught up in the enjoyment of the senses and the sense objects, it's an endless tunnel. It goes yes. on and on and
like
on.
Like you can never satiate fire.
You can never satiate. It just goes on and on. I think that is the import of this. And then, so here as Swami is saying that if you are craving for these worldly pleasures, then you're not thinking of God.
Yes.
It's not possible to think of God.
Yes. You can't have both Kama and Rama.
You can't have Kama and Rama, absolutely. So then, you know, moving on, it is very interesting, these analogies and, you know, the comparisons Swami gives. So it's like three steps. Swami says, yes, if you are craving for worldly happiness, then you cannot think of God. Then he says, so every act has to be analyzed.
Yes.
And, you know, inquiry has to be done.
Yes.
Analyze and discriminate every act. Only then the spirit of renunciation can come out from such analysis, Swami says. And then, you know, Swami goes on to say how greed is like the behavior of a dog. And Swami has used very strong language and, you know, examples here to drive home the fact that, you know, these are all animal tendencies.
Yes.
These are all animal qualities, and that we should not be overcome with these qualities. So he says greed is like the behavior of a dog. And Swami has given a lot of, you know, spoken about greed in many of the discourses. And it's a very big topic. It's a very big topic. Just to open up this topic, possibly it's a good place to recall this beautiful story by Leo Tolstoy. Where, you know, the story is, how much land does a man need? So
yes,
it's about greed, right?
Yes,
it's about greed. So basically, just to give a, you know, brief summary of the story, there is this peasant who is called Pahom. I don't know if I'm getting the pronunciation right. Pahom. And then who, you know, who heard his sister and others talking about the luxuries of a peasant life, if you have a lot of land and all that. And then he thought to himself, he said, if only I had a lot of land, I will not fear the devil himself. That's what he thought. And the moment he...
Just like people think, if I have this much money, I don't have to care about anyone.
I don't have to care. See, these are all very symbolic. So he says, if I had so much land, I will not be...
The world will be at my feet.
Yeah, world will be at my feet. I will not be scared of the devil himself. But he didn't realize that Satan was sitting right next to him in the very same kitchen room. Satan was sitting and it threw a challenge. It said, let's see. And then his life goes on. He goes from buying a small land to a bigger land. But greed has started taking over. And he wants more. He wants more and more and more and more. And then... he went finally and he met this group of people who are called Bashkirs. It's a Russian name, so I don't know the exact. And then they were very simple kind of people, but with a lot of land. They said, see, from dawn to dusk, the amount of land you can walk and cover and then mark it with your spade, that land is yours.
Wow.
That's it. You mark how much of land you
want. Just walk and it's yours.
Walk and it's yours.
Mm.
So he walks and walks and walks, taking it, you know, he has to come back to the starting point just before the sunset.
Okay, so walk and come back.
Come back. Mm. So he walks, takes a bigger land, bigger, and then slowly sees that the sun is setting.
Mm.
And he doesn't know what to do. So he starts seeing that the starting point is far off. And he starts running. Runs, and then finally there are people cheering him. They said, come on, you can do it, And then, so like the sprint, you know,
yes.
He comes sprinting, and then just before the sun sets, he reaches the starting point and he's so happy, but he just falls down dead with exhaustion. The moment he reaches the starting point, he's so happy, but he falls down dead. And then Leo Tolstoy says very beautifully that the only land that he claimed was that 6 foot by 2 foot where they buried him and they moved on. That's
wow.
All.
In fact, you know, when I read this, greed is like the behavior of a dog. I just reminded of that lovely Chinnakatha that Swami used to narrate. I don't know if you remember how once a dog came to Sri Rama bleeding. From blows. And so Rama sent Lakshmana to find out what happened, why is this dog in this condition. You ask the dog, and the dog could speak. So the dog said, I was beaten by a Brahmin with a stick.
Okay.
Then Rama asked the Brahmin, why did you do this? So the Brahmin, when he was summoned, and so the Brahmin then said that, no, my lord, this dog always comes in my way and he annoys me. You know, always when I'm going, this dog coming in my way, it's very annoying. So that's the reason why I gave that treatment to the dog. Then Rama asked the dog, okay, now you tell dog, how do I punish this Brahmin? Definitely what he has done is not right. You know, you are just crossing the road. So then the dog thinks and says, Rama, if you want to punish this Brahmin, please make him a manager of a temple.
Okay.
Rama says, I wanted to punish him.
Yeah.
What? You want me to reward him?
Reward him, yes.
Make him manager of a temple. And the dog says, no, Rama, you don't know. I was a manager of a temple in my previous birth. It is impossible not to mishandle or misuse or misappropriate fraction of God's money when once you are a manager of a temple.
Oh my God.
So much will come. And in the name of God, it
greed.
Is just impossible. Okay. And so once he becomes a manager, he too will become a dog.
Oh my God.
The next birth.
Next birth.
And then obviously he will also get beaten. He will do dog things and he will get beaten.
It's really intense. So, you know, when talking about greed, there is another that beautiful analogy which Swami gives about how the monkey is caught. So he says, you know, the monkey, their peanuts are put inside the pot.
Correct.
And the monkey is lured into, you know, picking those peanuts.
Yes.
So it puts its hand inside the pot, and the moment it holds the peanuts or the food inside, it's not able to remove the hand. So all Swami says is it has to let go of the food.
Correct.
And then its hand will come out and it can run away.
Yes.
But it is so lost trying to take that food out, that its hand gets stuck in the pot and then it gets caught in turn. And so, you know, Swami says, if, like, so, like how the monkey thinks that it can hold, and how this, in the story of Leo Tolstoy, Swami says, nobody can carry anything with them when they die. He says, even if you are allowed to carry one handful of mud for every person who died, there will be scarcity of mud and sand in today's on earth today. Then so he says greed is such that it just takes over. And there's another beautiful story from this book, Satyasa Anandadai. I think it must have happened sometime in the late 60s or so. So there is this person named Ramana Reddy who was a student of the Veda Pathshala block. As we know, Swami had started this Veda Pathshala block in which Sanskrit was taught and Vedas were taught. But after a few years, Swami closed down the Veda Pathshala. And this Ramana Reddy, he worked for some time in Swami's printing press and then went and did some diploma and then he went to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for 10 years. And he made good money and he was doing well. And he came back to India and he went to have Swami's darshan. Now Swami blessed him profusely and Swami said, "Very good, where are you?" and all that. He said, "Swami, I was working in Dubai." And Swami said, "Very good, now don't go back."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
"Now don't go back." So he said, "Yes, I will follow Swami's words, Swami's instruction." And he went back to his place and he was working there. But repeated requests kept coming to him.
Okay.
Come. "We are going to pay you double. We are going to do this. We are going to do that." And then he became a victim of that greed.
Oh.
And he decided to go back to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went there, while he was working, he fell from a height from second or third story building and had multiple fractures.
Oh no.
Multiple fractures and all the money that he earned, most of it was all spent off in the treatment. So, in a sense, yes, you know, he went against Swami's words. Mm. Swami had told him. So, you know, there is no limit for this greed.
Yes.
There is no limit. You don't get a sense of satisfaction. You may have so much, but you still keep wanting more and more.
Yes. If there is no limit to your greed, then you will have no limit to your suffering also.
No limit to your suffering. Absolutely. So, you know, that other story Swami says about that man who goes, catches one fish, cooks it, eats it, and he's enjoying life. The other person comes and tells him, he says, "Why are you? You're such a good hand at catching fish."
Yes.
He says, why don't you catch two instead of one?" He says, "What will I do?" Mm. He says, "You can keep one for dinner." Mm. He says, "Well, I can go and catch it again." Then he says, "No, why don't you catch 10?
Mm.
He says, "Why?" He says, "Sell it. Then do what? You'll get money."
Mm.
"And do what? You can get a better house." Mm. "And do what? Mm. You'll be happy." He said, "I'm already happy."
Yeah, I don't know if you heard about the 99 Club.
Okay.
So what happens is there was this king,
mm-hmm,
who, despite all the positions that he had,
mm-hmm,
was somehow always not happy. You know, something or the other would always be bothering him.
Mm.
And the king saw that there is this servant in the palace, and this fellow is always so happy-go-lucky, you know, he always comes to the work singing and he's always in bliss. And the king used to think, "I am the ruler of this land." Okay.
Mm.
"I am the one with everything in my command."
Right.
"Wealth to riches to pleasures. But I am not experiencing even
a fraction of
that joy that this servant who has nothing enjoys."
Mm.
"I have like a crown of thorns on my head. This man is so happy." And so he calls this minister and he says, "What is this? You know, this man, he just has a roof over his head, just has little food to just fill his tummy. And he's ten times more happy than me."
Mm.
Then the minister says, "Your Majesty, the only difference is the servant has not yet joined the 99 Club."
Mm-hmm.
The king asks, "What is this 99 Club? And then he says, "I have to do only one thing, king.
Mm.
Then it will all get sorted out.
Mm.
I just need 99 gold coins."
Okay.
So he takes this 99 gold coins in a bag.
Okay.
And in the night, he keeps it just outside the servant's doorstep.
Mm.
So the next morning, when the servant gets up and opens the door and he finds this bag and he takes inside and wow, such a bounty. He's got 99 gold coins out of nowhere and he's like ecstatic and he starts counting them and you know, he calls his family and children and they all are counting and he counts, you know, it's 50, 60, 70, 90, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And it stops. Hey, one more year.
One more coin. Where is that one
Where
coin?
Is that? Again you count. Again you count. No, it has to be 100.
99.
It stopped. So what could have happened? How that, one more coin didn't come? So someone, whoever has given me, you would have definitely given 100 only.
The entire joy of having 99 gold coins.
So, he started searching everywhere. Did it fall out of the bag, when the person was coming, maybe it fell on the road. Everywhere he searched, it is not there. So then he said, all I need is just one more gold coin here. Just one more and I will have 100 gold coins. And so from that day, he started working hard.
And all his happiness is gone.
So because he is normal servant, he has to save enough to buy one gold coin. Mm. So that is a lot of work.
Right.
So now his wife also tells, no, we have to get that one more gold coin. So now, earlier he used to come at 9 o'clock to office singing. So now he's coming at 8 o'clock to office. And the next day, he's coming at 7 o'clock to office. He wants to work overtime. and the king finally sees that, something has happened. Now he's not singing and coming. He's hurrying and he's overworked. He's grumpy and now he starts blaming people for things others have not committed. And then the king was puzzled. What did you do, minister? what is the magic? He said, nothing, Lord. Just that servant has now officially he has joined the 99 club. So I think, that is what, there are so many people with so little in their lives. And all the, as Swami says, once this disease starts, that I want more and only then I will be happy. That is when I think we lose our sleep, we lose our happiness, we lose everything that has been given to us and we are eternally suffering.
Eternally suffering. In fact, if you look at greed itself, there are two aspects. Once you are greedy, automatically you don't want to share with others. You become possessive and you become miserly.
In fact, Swami says, once for this 99 club, membership is free. It is free membership, but you pay for it with your entire life.
Entire life. Exactly. And you become so miserly, you become, Swami used to often say, pisnari.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be totally,
correct.
Miserliness.
Yes. Means when Swami, when it comes to giving.
Yes.
Then he will be the most generous person on the planet. But when it comes to himself, that's when you see.
He'll
be the least.
There is a difference.
He can take.
There is a difference between miserliness and using things to the minimum.
Yes.
Austerity. Austerity is different from miserliness.
Yes. Here, Bhagwan is talking about moderate food, moderate sleep. Yes.
See, that is a different this thing.
Yes.
Here, there's a very beautiful point from one of the discourses where Swami says, what is the antidote for greed?
Mm-hmm.
He says, we're having the antidote is charity.
Yes.
He says, charity. Give.
Yes.
Give. And then your greed will come down. He says, there are four people who are after your wealth. If you are, the moment you have acquired a lot of wealth.
Yes.
Very beautiful point. He says, four people are after your wealth. One is called charity.
Oh, okay.
One is called government. Third is called thief. And the fourth is called fire. Fourth is fire. So he says, these four people are behind your wealth. But if you decide to give most of your wealth to the first person, you will gain the respect of all the other three.
Oh, wow.
So he says, if you give your money, if you give your wealth to charity, government will not give you taxes. He says, they will exempt you from income tax because you have made donation. And thief will also have respect for you because you are doing a lot. And fire will also not come near your property.
Oh, wow.
So beautifully Swami has said, you will get the respect of all the other three.
Respect of nature also.
Nature also.
Wow.
So you'll get the respect of all the other three if you give your thing. But on the other hand, he says, if you become miserly, You having greed, you acquire, and then you become miserly. Then he says you are bound to perish. There Swami gives a very interesting story about two misers. Okay. The two brothers.
Yes, yes.
You know, the two brothers. So he says, they were so stingy and so miserly, they didn't even want to light a candle. So they would finish food, little food, whatever they had before it became too dark, so that they need not waste a candle. Now it so happened that one of their relatives died. And so one of them had to go. And so what he did was, he thought, I will start walking at night itself, so that I don't have to catch a bus or a train and it will be cool. And I will reach by morning. And so that I can save a lot of money. And he told his brilliant plan to his brother. And he said, okay, quickly light the candle for some time, so that at least I have to take one or two pairs of dress and I have to put it in a bag and go. So they lit the candle. He lit the candle and then he took his shirt, which he has not washed in so many years. Because he says the moment it's washed, it loses the look of a new shirt. So the way it was bought, he has maintained it. He used to wear it and just maintain it like that, because then it still looks new.
Amazing.
So, he has kept that shirt as it is. And so he wears that shirt and then he puts a few other. And he says, okay, bye, I'll go. And he starts walking. And then he's walking, 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 walking. Suddenly he reaches halfway through, and three-fourths the distance he reaches to his relative's place. Then he thinks, oh my God, I told my brother to light that candle.
Has he put it off?
Has he put it off?
Oh my God.
Has he put off the candle? That candle is getting wasted now.
Wasted. Oh my God.
And then he turns back. And he comes running home to make sure that the candle has been put off. Now, in the meanwhile, what has happened? The brother is no less. The moment this brother left, he put off the candle and he was sitting in the dark at home. And because it was dark, a scorpion has come and bit him.
Oh my God.
Swami says, a scorpion came and bit him. And by the time the other brother came back, this fellow was shouting in pain. Yes, what happened? He said, why did you come back? He said, I came back to make sure that, you know, you had put off the candle. I thought you would have slept off with the candle on. What would have happened? The whole candle would have gone down. Then this fellow said, no, no, because of that, because I put off the candle and scorpion has bitten me. But I am more worried. I'm not worried about the scorpion bite. I am more worried about you. Yes, what happened? He said, you walked all the way and came back. How much your chappal would have got worn out?
Oh my God.
He says, you walked all the way till there and came back.
Slipper got worn out.
Slipper. Then his brother said, don't think I'm a fool.
Oh.
I have put the slipper in my bag.
Oh my God.
He says, do not think, do not underestimate my miserliness. I have put the chappal in my bag, so it is not worn out. Indeed, they happily died together. I think after that, Swami says, what is the use? And in fact,
complete darkness.
Complete darkness.
You'll be bitten by scorpion.
Scorpion. And Swami said, the government took away all their property. Oh. So they didn't give it to charity, so government took it away. So,
When you have money and if you give, you earn punya. I mean, you earn in so many ways.
Right.
Though it might seem that you're giving, but actually you're gaining. But I think only people who take that leap of faith and do experience the joy of that and experience the merit of that.
But you know, there is a slight difference. Like we were just mentioning, miserliness is one thing.
Yes.
But proper use.
Judicious
without wastage,
use.
Yes. Without wastage, you know that moderate,
yes,
moderation in everything, in what you use, that cannot be considered as miserliness.
Yes.
That is not greed, that is not miserliness, that is, you know, giving
that
respect.
Is basically, as what Swami says, don't waste energy,
don't waste
food,
exactly.
Don't waste time, don't waste money.
In fact, in one of the discourses, in 18th July 1996, Swami has given a very beautiful episode. And Swami says, just before I came for this discourse, your warden Shivashankar Sai, he came. He saw that one eye was red. Swami's one eye was red. And then he asked Swami, why your eye is red? And Swami said, I am not careless like you all. When you put soap on your face, the tap is left open and the water keeps getting wasted. You students, you are careless, you waste a lot of water, but I am not like that. When I put soap on my face, I close the tap. And after I apply soap, when I open my eye to see the tap and open, that time little soap has gone inside. So it has become red. And you know, that is the kind of example that Swami has set.
Yes.
I do not waste even a drop of water, because water is God.
Yes.
Air is also a form of God. That is why I switch off the fan immediately when it is not required. Some people keep the light on throughout the night even if it is not required. But I switch on the light when it is necessary and at once turn it off when it is not needed. This is not miserliness.
Yes.
I am not a miser. I am the embodiment of sacrifice.
Wow.
But I don't like to waste anything. Use everything as much as it is necessary. But people today are misusing the five elements. So Swami has said this in the discourse. So, you know, it has several aspects to it. Greed, miserliness, then, you know, charity. And, you know, what exactly is proper use of things.
Yes, yes.
And of course, the next chapter, next topic is anger.
Well, I think anger, again, as you mentioned, like the previous, these are like, you can go on discussing about.
Six of them, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsya, six episodes of Vahini Satsang can go on.
Yeah, and more.
Yes.
You can have 60 and 600.
Exactly.
And you'll never be done, because this is what mankind has been dealing with, humans have been dealing with since the time, you know, the play of gunas have started in every man. You're trying to overcome these qualities. I was reminded of Ramana Maharshi. You know, he makes that very powerful statement about spiritual life. He says the only spiritual life you need is not to react.
Okay.
That's what Ramana Maharshi says.
Mm-hmm.
The only spiritual life you need is not to react.
Mm-hmm.
To be calm is the greatest asset in the world.
Wow.
It is the greatest siddhi, the greatest power that you can have is to be calm. If you can only learn to be calm, you will solve every problem. When you are perfectly calm, time stops. And when there is no time, karma stops. When there is no karma, samskara stop. Everything becomes null and void.
Beautiful. Beautiful to hear.
And he's... But I think definitely this is something, you know, which we have discussed previously also. The difference between reacting and responding. Most of the time, you know, we respond to situations immediately. Someone, boss says something and we feel, how could he say that? Your mother says something and if he says, no, why can't mother say it in this way? So we have always, immediately we respond. But what Ramana Maharshi is saying is, and which Swami has mentioned any number of times, is to have that patience, forbearance, to not to respond, but react. And he says, in fact, when you are calm, you are one with the entire energy of the universe. And he says, everything will go well with you. Because if you are calm, it means that you are in control. And once you are in control, then the forces of the universe will work with you.
Absolutely.
In Bible, it is said, be still and know that I am God.
Beautiful. The anger is, you know, Swami has spoken about it so many times.
Yes.
And it is, anger is something, he says it weakens your nerves.
Yes.
It like takes, saps away your energy. It sucks away the respect that others have for you.
Correct.
And it is one of the worst enemies of mankind. Kamat krodho vijayate, krodhat bhavati samoha. He says from desire comes anger. And so all these things are there. Anger can, you know, anybody can get angry. All of us get angry at different times, at different levels and all. But, you know, the standard example of the highest of people getting angry is Vishwamitra. Like Swami has told this story many times, that even a great sage, a sage like, such a great sage like Vishwamitra, who has done tremendous penance, tapas, anger was one thing that, you know, kind of held him back from getting the status of a Brahma Rishi.
Yes.
So Swami tells this beautiful story that Vishwamitra was very angry that he is being addressed only as a Rajarishi, which is like one step below the Brahma Rishi, the highest place of a Rishi in the evolution of the Rishihood, if you would call it.
Yes.
So, he said that because this Vashishta is already a Brahma Rishi, I am not able to become a Brahma Rishi. So why not I finish him off? In that anger.
Yes.
In that anger, he, I mean, such a great sage.
Yes.
How could he get such a thought? So he said, Swami says that he was standing behind the tree and the bush with a sword in his hand to finish off Vashishta so that he becomes a Brahma Rishi.
Yes.
And at that time he overhears sage Vashishta talking to his disciples and telling them the greatness of Vishwamitra. And sage Vashishta is saying, such a great soul. His penance is so huge, and it's like the light of this moon, the moonlight. It's so cool, so vast, and so expansive. And he's such a great person. And instantly Vishwamitra feels so ashamed. He comes running and falls at the feet of Vashishta. And sage Vashishta says, arise, O Brahma Rishi. That was the last step that you had to overcome. That anger had clouded your vision. That anger had stopped you from seeing the truth. Now you are fit to be a Brahma Rishi. Arise.
Wow. Be calm and you will rise.
And you will rise. Exactly. When in another example, you know, which Swami gave in one of the discourses, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to go around doing the Nagar Sankirtan, the Namasmarana, and he used to have these big cymbals in his hand, and he used to go around playing, and the people came and they kind of stopped him, and they took away the cymbals, and then they said that you cannot use this, you should not use this. Then he was very calm. He said, my Lord does not want me to use any other instruments. I will just sing with my hands and I will dance. So from that day, he just started dancing and singing with his hands. Nobody can stop him doing that. So Swami says, instead of getting angry, instead of getting angry and, you know.
And that has now become actually the insignia of, you know, this Nama Sankirtan.
Exactly.
You're lifting your hands and in being in that ecstasy of singing with to the Lord.
Imagine, I think so. The best antidote for anger is love.
Yes.
And Swami has said this, when you have love in your heart, then you will not have any hatred.
Yes.
And you will not have any anger. And it's so beautiful because that love, his love is so intense on the Lord that he doesn't get angry for anything.
Yes.
Everything is taken as God's will.
Like the poison of Meera became nectar.
Exactly. See, there is also this beautiful blog written by Mr. Rangarajan sir from the when he was earlier in the administrative block.
Yes.
So he's currently is the director of the Vrindavan campus. So Mr. Rangarajan, in his blog, his message, his voice.
Yes.
I was going through that blog, and it had very beautiful and pragmatic suggestions. It's basically a collection of all Swami's quotes relating to anger. There were two blogs that he had written. Part one was introduction to the vice of anger, and part two was simple tips to exercise control over anger.
Yes.
So part one and part two, it was very beautiful. He has just collected so many.
Yes.
So if any listeners, they want to go, you can go back to this blog and search for his message, his voice by Mr. Rangarajan, and search for anger management. I think these two blogs were very, very beautifully done.
And we have so many tips, practical tips that Swami has given about how to control anger.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yes, that's, as we said, there is so much to discuss on that.
That's a whole ocean in itself. In fact, Swami says in one place, he says, Vemana, the poet, he says that a person who is able to eat a dog, and a person who is able to eat is considered a great yogi. A person who is able to eat a dog is considered a great yogi. But one who eats a pig is considered a greater yogi. And then he says that one who eats an elephant is considered the wisest amongst the yogis. So if you want to become a yogi, start with the dog. And then Swami says there is an inner meaning to it. It's not that you go and eat a dog. Mm. He says that the dog stands for anger.
Oh.
He says once you have eaten your anger, once you're able to control your anger, you are a yogi. Then the pig stands for ego.
Oh.
He says once you are able to eat the pig, then you are a greater yogi.
Mm-hmm.
And the elephant stands for attachments.
Oh.
So he says one who is able to overcome the attachments is the wisest amongst the yogis.
Wow.
So this is a poem written by Vemana.
Swami used to quote very often. Yeah.
Swami used to quote this very often, right?
Wow. Here Bhagwan also talks about here theft. I mean, so all these things come, theft happens because of greed.
Right.
And Swami says, you know, it makes a human life cheaper than a pie. I mean, as you said, Swami is using very strong words, rotten smelling flesh.
Yes.
I mean, that is what trying to possess others' property, you know, how obnoxious it is. I think that's what Swami is emphasizing here. And then Swami, of course, comes to here, moderate food, moderate sleep, love and fortitude. This is what will help in the growth of healthy body and mind. In fact, you know, I was reading this a little interaction between two people. So what happens is there is this young man who's sitting on a three-seat row in a bus. And at the next stop, another grumpy person comes and he sits by him.
Okay.
And, you know, so that person just squeezes into the seat and, you know, bumped into this guy. Mm-hmm. And he had a heavy shopping bag. So the third person, you know, who was sitting on the other side, you know, he asked this person who was in the middle, why didn't you speak up something? You know, that other person came and he, with his huge bag and he bumped into you, you know, and we are getting squeezed. You could have just told that guy something. And this man said, it is not necessary to argue over something so insignificant. Anyway, our journey together is so short. And that really made this person to think. Anyway, our journey together is so short. It would be a waste of time to darken this little short journey of ours with quarrels, with futile arguments, with carrying grudges, with carrying discontentment, with fault finding, you know. If someone breaks your heart, all you have to do is be calm.
Be calm.
Anyway, the journey is so short. Someone provokes you, anger, someone intimidates you. Just forgive. Anyway, the journey is so short.
I hope the bus reached safely and they didn't end up with an... Yeah, but it's true. The Swami says it's like fleeting.
Yeah. Yes.
Our scale of time is very different.
But I think, you know, as Bhagwan also refers to that incident from the Mahabharata, this too shall pass.
Right.
So I think this is the same, you know. If we always know about the impermanence of the world, then we will not crave for the fleeting pleasures of the world. And then, you know, you'll keep your attention on the eternal. And everything that goes around you, you know that it is changing. So you will be calm.
Then Swami here next talks about truth.
Yes.
And he says, if you give up truth, it is all your vital powers are destroyed.
Yeah, that is something
and
very profound.
And that was something
here.
Very, very powerful which Swami says. I mean, and Swami says, yeah, of course, there is no discourse where Swami has not spoken about truth. Satyam, Satya is one of the first, is the first of the five human
Satyam
values.
Satyam Vada is at the emblem of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Ireland.
Yes, and Swami's name is Satya Sai. So truth is the ultimate. But there is a very a different interpretation of truth which Swami gave in one of the discourses. This is in 14th October 2002. During the Dashara discourses, Swami says, what is Satyam? Okay, Satyam. Sat plus Ya plus Ma. He says Sat is life and Ya is food and Ma is the sun.
Yes.
He says the sun provides food which sustains life.
That is what is Satyam.
That is Satyam.
That is what is creation.
That is the creation.
Wow. That's why Swami says if you forsake truth, then whole vital energy of your being goes off.
Goes off. He says that is Satyam.
Means the power of the sun, you are able to see because of the power of the sun. The light in your life goes off basically.
Right. He says the sun provides the food and the food sustains life. So the unity of all the three, that means there is the power of God.
Yes.
And then there is the effort.
Food that is nature. Yeah.
And then there is the person, the life, the prana. So he says that the combination of all three is Satyam. Very beautiful. And then he says, how do you understand the Satyam? He says, just turn the word around.
Mm-hmm.
Yata sa. Satyam. Yata sa, he says. He says, Yama niyama.
Oh, okay.
He says, sense control. You should have sense control. You should have morality in life. So, Satya, Ya, Tha, Sa. So, he says, Yama, Niyama, and Tha is Tapas.
Oh, okay. Yama, Niyama, Tapas.
Tapas. If you have this, then you will get the Sakshatkara of Satya Swarupa.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Swami's word play is like so amazing.
So profound.
And every word he is able to, he gives us this.
I mean, there are secrets of creation in that.
Exactly.
Secrets of nature in that. Secrets of human evolution in that. We have to spend time trying to ruminate. In fact, I remember in the first segment, in 30.1 also, you remember Swami says that if you chant the Lord's name, whether you get mukti or not,
right.
One thing that will definitely happen is
Truth. Yes.
And
control of senses. Exactly. Yes.
So that is the powerful message, which is again coming here that, you know, you concentrate on the truth, focus on the eternal, focus on God, then everything else, you know, if you remember the Lord with a steady mind and without any desire, then all suffering and sorrow will just fall away. So, well, I think it's... So much is packed in this.
No, absolutely. Every sentence is, we have just, you know, kind of touched upon.
In fact,
when I was speaking to Brother Arvind, so about anger itself, they have done two afternoon satsangs, that is three hours of discussion. So 3 hours of discussion on anger management.
Yes.
And in the afternoon satsang, and they have also drawn a lot from Swami's discourses. And analogies. So, dear listeners, if any of you are interested, you can go back to the afternoon satsang segment and then search for anger management. I think that's a very important aspect of today's
life. So, all we have to do if we are on the spiritual path is be calm and be in control, and then the whole universe will work with you towards your goal of lasting happiness. If you are in worldly happiness, then that is a disease. Once you are in lasting happiness, that is joy. So dear listeners, the Akhanda Bhajan is around the corner. Let's use this chance to keep our mind focused, as concentrated as it can be, on the Lord. And it is so easy to do it during bhajans. You know, bhajans, the whole exercise of shutting the world around us and keeping it on the Lord becomes very easy during a bhajan session. And when you have 24 hours bhajan, it is really a fantastic opportunity to practice this and use this as a springboard on our spiritual journey. So, as we ruminate on Prema Vahini, let's walk on this path and experience the Prema that is Swami. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude at his feet and prayers that we continue this session with added enthusiasm and zeal, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much. Sairam.